Yeah, we forgot to record, so here we go, we're starting to record now.
Okay.
Okay. So. So, okay, why? Go ahead.
Because the prophet was about to die and to.
Yes, okay, you got part of the answer right. Allah said this ayah was giving the news that this surah was giving the news that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will
die.
Is dying. He's done with his mission. So he is?
He died at
dying.
25.
Huh?
He died at 25.
No, 63. So the news is given that he's dying.
There was news back then?
Yeah. And the question is, the question is, people tell each other the word of man. The question is, and the people go with drums and say ta ta, and say announce something, or with something fired if it's at night, and then they say this happened and this happened. But anyway, so Allah was giving the news that His Prophet is dying. But on the other hand, why did Allah say istaghfir, means seek forgiveness? In addition to that, our Prophet is dying and he needs to make istighfar. It is also that Allah wants to tell us that if you give yourself credit, you have to ask Allah, you have to make istighfar to Allah. So if you do a good deed and you say, okay, I did Allah a favor. Then, is that right? Huh? No. If you make a good prayer and or fast a day, do you feel that you have given Allah a favor? Making a favor? Yeah, okay. So you make istighfar because who made you able to pray?
Allah.
So who gets the credit?
Allah.
But out of His generosity, He takes you into His mercy because of these good deeds that you do. But any deed you do is with the help of Allah. He is the one that helped you to do it. Okay, so the Prophet was able to conquer Mecca and the Arabian Peninsula.
Like, what is the Arabian Peninsula?
Jazeera, Shibhi Jazeera.
No, I mean, like, what country is
the Arabian? Saudi Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula. The Arabian Peninsula, where is that? It's not here. The Arabian Peninsula, okay? So, back here to the.
Is it like Yemen, Oman?
Yes, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, these kind of countries. So, he might give himself credit. He might give himself credit. You say, I have achieved all of this. So, Allah said, make istighfar, because no one deserves credit. Only Allah is the one to have the credit. Prophet Musa alayhi salam said, so the focus of today on the ayah, وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ. Can I just write? وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثَرْ. Don't you ever feel that you have done Allah a favor at all. Allah is the one who did you favor. Prophet Musa alayhi salam used to say something very nice to Allah. He used to say, Ya Allah, how can I thank you? If thanking you is a blessing that requires further thanking to you. And further thanking to you is another blessing from you that requires further thanking for you. And the further thanking for you is a further blessing from you that requires further thanking to you. And the further thanking to you is a further blessings that requires further thanking to you. You understand what's the point here?
Yeah.
What did you get from that? You get from that is that when you thank Allah, you have to, in your heart, You have to understand that Allah is doing you a favor by guiding you. Hello? By guiding you. If Allah did not provide guidance, then would you be in this position that you are in right now? No. I will probably be someone, I don't know, maybe have ears here and ears there, and half of his hair is colored, move and red, and all of these things. That comes when people have empty hearts. When people have empty hearts, it's not full of faith, or does not have faith, or I don't know, many people do that. But I would have been like that, I might have been like that, if Allah did not send me guidance. I might have been now drinking in a party if Allah did not send me guidance. Okay? Okay? So, what Prophet Musa is saying, do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, look, watch me. Huh? Thanking you, how can I thank you, Allah? How can I thank you? If thanking you is a favor from you that requires further thanking to you. Got it? And the further thanking you is a blessing from you that requires further thanking to you. And keeps going. There is no end. So the message is, you can never, ever, ever thank Allah enough. Now, guess what Allah said? Allah told him, by knowing that, ya Musa, by believing in that, ya Musa, or by knowing that, ya Musa, you have thanked me. By knowing that, you have thanked me. You have thanked me. Do you know that you can never do enough deeds? Why does Allah take you to Jannah? Forever.
Out of His mercy.
Forever. Why did Allah take you to Jannah forever? Forever. If you have worshipped Allah, let's say 60 years, why would Allah take you to Jannah forever?
Because you
intended to worship. If Allah would give you eternal life, everlasting life, then you would do everlasting worship. Huh? Yusuf, if Allah gives you everlasting life, then you would do what? Everlasting worship. So out of His mercy and generosity, He gives you everlasting Jannah. Because of your what? Intentions. Because of your intentions. How about the bad guys, the non-believers? They go...
Oh, they're going to hellfire.
Yes. Many of them are going to hellfire. Okay. Now, why is Allah going to send them to hellfire forever if they have disobeyed Allah only for 70 years?
I have a question. If they... Go ahead.
What if you're like a non-believer, but you don't like... drink or smoke or anything, you're very good.
Hold on, that's outside of the subject. Let's focus on the subject.
I have a question.
Let me finish what I said.
It's about that. So if they're in hellfire, could they be Muslim and then go to heaven?
If you're a Muslim, then you're guaranteed to go to Jannah sooner or later.
But you're not guaranteed to be saved from the punishment of Allah if you're a Muslim.
What if you're you're bad?
Hold on, guys. You're going into a different direction. Why would Allah send a bad guy to hellfire forever, even though this guy have disobeyed Allah only for 60 years?
Huh? Because he made the intention.
Because if Allah would give him an everlasting and everlasting life, he will do an everlasting what?
Bad deeds.
You got that part? See how generous is Allah?
Yeah, if he's 80. Wait, so if you're 80 and then you go and then you want to be Muslim.
Okay,
then
so.
Then did you get to be Muslim? I don't understand.
And then Allah says, وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ, and be patient. Because when Prophet Muhammad is starting inviting people to Islam, did they come easy?
No.
What did they do to him? They started war against him. First of all, they said he is one person who is going to just worship Allah quietly in his house or in a cave and die there without any problems. So they, at the beginning, when he announced that he's a prophet of Allah, and he announced it about Islam, they say, huh? They say?
Nope.
They saw, yeah, but did they feel threats?
No.
They didn't feel any threat. Why?
Because he was just one man.
Because it's just one man. That's right. One man can't, you know, he doesn't have any power. He doesn't have any influence. They said he's one man. He's going to just worship Allah alone and die just like who? Like Waraqa ibn Nawfal. You know Waraqa ibn Nawfal?
No.
He is the cousin, huh? He's the cousin of Khadija, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Oh, I know that person.
He is, yes.
He's the one who Khadija went to him after the Prophet was in the cave. Khadija went to him.
That's right.
And he said that your husband is a prophet. Messenger, prophet of God.
Yes, what else did he say? Okay, he told her that your husband is a prophet of Allah. Your husband is a prophet of Allah. And I wish I am alive when people kick him out of Mecca to support him. So Prophet Muhammad said, are they going to kick me out of Mecca? So Waraqa said, nobody brought a message like yours to his people, okay, without his people fighting him, without his people fighting him and drive him out of Mecca, drive him out of his town. You got that? So he gave him the news that his, the work that's waiting for him is what? Very hard work. Prophet Muhammad suffered a lot. So that I become a Muslim, and she becomes a Muslim, and you. He suffered a lot of sacrifices, he and his companion, so that we become Muslims. They suffered really hardships. Huh?
So, what's the name again? Abu...
Waraqa ibn Nawfal?
No.
Abu Jahl?
Never mind. Yeah. Actually, yeah, that was it.
I have a question. Do you think he would become a Muslim if he didn't die?
Okay, now let's stay out of this question. Okay, it's irrelevant. All right, do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah is giving the news, saying, "Wali Rabbika fasbir," means be patient, because what is happening to you is going to be a lot of pain. A lot of pain. Wali Rabbika fasbir. Wali Rabbika fasbir. Be patient. Be patient of what's going to happen to you. Huh?
Did they fight the Romans?
Later.
Did they win?
Later. Yes. But this is outside of the subject. So focus with me here. Focus with me. So, reading these ayat again. So the first ayah, Allah is addressing who? A guy who wrapped himself in blankets because of...
That's the second one.
Yeah, you had Muddathir. No, the first one.
Oh, yeah. Switch heroes.
Yes. Because he has a nervous shock. Okay? Second, get up and deliver the warning. So Allah here is talking to him to get, basically telling him to what? Get out of comfort. And Allah told him, وَرَبُّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Glorify your Lord. Because if you don't believe that your Lord is Akbar, is magnificent and great, then you will feel that the sacrifice is not worth it. So know that the sacrifice is worth it because it is, huh? It is going to... Al-Akbar, وَلِرَبِّكَ وَرَبُّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Al-Rujza Fahjur, that's another statement that says, abandon bad deeds. Okay? Abandon bad deeds. وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ. وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ is really, really here is where a lot of people, you know, they feel that they have done enough. Yes.
You call me Lisa, we have the same name.
تَسْتَكْثِرْ.
But that doesn't matter.
Okay? Okay, guys? Okay. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he started inviting people to Islam, First of all, what happened to him? What was the position? What was the problem with him? Okay. He, when he grew up, he did not believe, he did not accept that these statues are really God. So they had statues. Let's say this is a statue.
So Clorox would be statues.
Let's say this is a statue. So the people of Mecca, they make statues out of what? Out of wood. And then what? Wood or rock. And then they what? Treat that statue the way Allah should have been
treated.
Now, a person with a pure heart, like the Prophet Muhammad, this did not click with him. This did not what?
Click
with him. So he went looking. He went looking for the truth. Before he became a prophet, at the age of 40, the black one? No, I have only black one. I'm going to take pictures of this. Can I? Okay, go ahead. Continue. He kept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He kept looking and looking for the truth. He kept looking for the truth and he could not find the truth around. He went, okay, we said worshiping other idols did not make sense to him. Why?
Because they're inanimate objects.
Because, yes, man-made objects. So it's like people make God. It's not that God made people. What is the right thing? God made people. Would people make God?
No.
So you can't just make a God and worship him. Okay? So did not click with him. So he went to the Christians. Okay? He went to the knowledge of the Christians. Okay? And then he found out that the Christians, he got stuck with the problem that the Christians believe that God...
Is there a heaven on earth?
The Christians believe that God, okay, came down to earth and he was beaten up really hard, humiliated.
And then stuck on...
Humiliated by a bunch of criminal thugs. Bunch of criminal thugs beat up him really hard, injured him, humiliated him, did to him what you cannot, beyond your imagination, what they did to him. And then they killed him on a cross. They killed him on the cross. So, is it appropriate for His Majesty to allow such a thing to happen to him?
No.
It is not. And really, the excuse or the justification that the non-Muslim, that our Christian friends use is that there was a conflict between God's mercy and justice. There's a conflict between God's mercy and justice, right?
Right.
The mercy, the justice of God is calling, the justice of God is calling him to punish us. Punish us for the crime of? For the wrongdoing of who?
The people.
No.
The Roman? The Jewish
people? No. Our grandfather Adam, he disobeyed God. And we inherit the sin. We inherit the what? Sin. So, babies, the Christians believe that babies, when they're born, they inherit the sin of their grandfather. So they are not born innocent. They are born guilty with the sin of their grandfather. Okay? So now they say that God, His justice is calling Him to forgive, to punish us. And His forgiveness, His mercy, His mercy makes Him want to forgive us. So there is a conflict between justice and mercy. So what's that conflict? What's that conflict between justice and mercy? Can you explain it?
The conflict between justice and mercy. Okay, so justice
is just like, it has to be fair and all that. Mercy is more like...
Wrong. We said, they said there is a conflict between God's mercy and justice, meaning that God's mercy is calling God to... God justice is calling him to punish humans. Why? For the sin of who? Their grandfather, Adam. Got that part?
Yeah.
And Allah's mercy is making him want to what?
No.
Forgive us. So there was a conflict between his mercy and his justice. So in order to resolve that conflict, he came down and he let a bunch of criminal thugs beat him up so hard. Because he said, I'm going to punish myself. I'm going to sacrifice myself, punish myself instead of punishing you. So God said, I'm going to punish myself instead of punishing you.
Is that even possible?
So he allowed himself to go down and let a bunch of criminal thugs beat him up real hard and torture him really hard and humiliate him to the level that you can't believe and then kill him on the cross. They say, our Christian friends say that this is done, this sacrifice was made by God to take the punishment. So now justice is fulfilled. So justice now is okay. Why justice is okay? Because the punishment was served. The punishment was what?
Served.
Because the punishment was served, then justice is okay. Now, is there any problem with mercy now? He can, since justice is okay, then what will prevail? Mercy. And this is why if you believe that God, according to the Christian knowledge, theology, if you believe that God, which is Jesus, came down.
Well, the church teaches that, but the Bible
really doesn't. Came down to earth.
Yeah, I know, right?
Came down to earth and sacrificed himself. If you believe in that, you get mercy. Well,
doesn't even know what that is.
For us Muslims, what is the problem with that? The problem is that we cannot. It's not appropriate for His Majesty to have a conflict with himself. If I say you conflict yourself, would you like that? Would it be something good for that you'd be proud of?
No.
So how could we call that Allah has a conflict in him, in his between himself and himself, a conflict with himself, mercy against justice? You got it? So the Muslim's position that Jesus is the slave of God. Jesus and Muhammad and all are slaves of God. And that's the Muslim position. The Christian position that he's the son of God. Go ahead.
So is Jesus... Because first of all, you said that Jesus... Like some people say Jesus is God and then Jesus is the son of God.
Just depending on the church. Some churches are this way, other churches are that way.
They don't have the Bible.
And it depends on the denomination. Which denomination
they
belong
to. Like over which one is true or not?
They used to have fights in the past between the Protestants and the Catholics.
Yeah.
And then Protestant coming from the word protest. Protest means some of the Christians protested what the Catholics are doing. So they called Protestant from protest. And they had fights, and they still having fights in New Zealand between Catholics and Protestant. They are still fighting in New Zealand.
Like until war fighting?
Yes, still fighting in New Zealand. Anyway, going back to the subject here, the Prophet Muhammad went to the Jews, and then he found that the Jews, looked at the knowledge, the theology or the faith of the Jews, he found that they describe Allah in a manner that's not appropriate for His Majesty. Like what? Like they say that God makes mistakes, God forgets, God cries, God doesn't know the future or control it. He finds out about the future the way we find out about the future. All of these things. are they appropriate for His Majesty?
He created the few children.
Is it appropriate for His Majesty to be described that way?
No.
So he didn't accept that. He didn't accept that God is that. So he went to the cave. He went to the cave seeking shelter. Seeking shelter. And he kept... Why did he go to the cave seeking shelter? Why? Any idea someone can tell me?
Because they were trying to kill him.
He wanted to get away from...
Right. He wants to get away from the place, Mecca, because he wants to be free from influence. He wants to free his mind from the pressure.
He wants to free his mind from
anything.
Free his mind from corruption in Mecca. Because if you live in a place, the place will always have an influence in your... In you. Go ahead.
Wait, what was the religion of the people of Mecca?
Paganism. Okay. So back here. So basically, he went into a cave. He said, if I free my mind from all this corruption in Mecca and the way of life in Mecca, I should be able to see something. Now, he said, I can find out. The idea was, he can find out about the Creator by observing what? The creation. He can find out about the Creator by observing what?
The creation.
The creation. So, because the creation is the product of Creator. So, if you look at the product, you should be able to tell about the maker, right? If you look at the product, you will be able to find out about the maker.
Okay. Let's
so.
This person.
Really? It was made by Clorox.
Yeah, and that person who invented it.
No, it was a guy with a white t-shirt. He's bald.
Prophet. Prophet.
No, do you see the commercial?
Oh. Yeah.
OxyClean.
Okay. Hello. Okay, so he's...
Got the tea.
That was my sister.
What are you guys talking about? I'm sorry.
You were about to... What did you
say? Oh, yeah. Free his mind and observe nature. Why observe nature? Huh? Because what?
Observe nature because you can figure out about the creator from the creation.
Exactly.
Like, this person had OCD for clean stuff.
Good. And then we can tell. If we have a good car, then we say the maker is?
Smart.
Good maker. If we have a bad car, then we say the maker is?
Doesn't always do
bad. Bad engineer. Got it? So he said, I observed the creation. And he kept observing the creation. But observing the creation, is it enough for guidance, to provide guidance? No. There has to be faith that comes down so that people can, this faith can guide people.
Wait, so the prophet said he's going to observe creation?
Yes.
Okay.
To learn about the Creator and to free himself from the corruption of Mecca. That's why he went to the cave. This is... reasons for the prophet to go to the cave. One, the prophet was observing creation.
To learn. That does not
to learn about the Creator. And two, to free his mind from the corrupted culture in Mecca.
Okay.
So I'll say the reasons why.
Yeah,
to.
I will.
Okay. So suddenly he came with a guy came, and we know the story. Read, I don't know how to read. Read, I don't know how to read, etc., etc., etc. Okay. Yes, and he didn't know how to. The prophet doesn't know how to read his name, and he doesn't know how to write his name. The prophet did not know how to spell his name. And this is not being able to spell your name is bad for everybody except for the Prophet. Why? Why? Why is it good, an honor to the Prophet that he did not know how to write or read?
Because nobody can document, like nobody can like have written evidence against him.
No, because
that's good reason.
Nobody would say that he made up the Quran. If someone who doesn't know how to write, read or write, come up with the Quran, if the Prophet reads or writes, some people will say, yeah, he read other books and he made up Islam and he made up the Quran. Got it? Smart? Okay.
Yes, that is very smart. So Allah made sure that the Prophet did not put a kid
in
so he would not.
The Prophet did not know how to read or write or spell his name even because of that. No, you still have 5 minutes. You can go.
No, I don't want to go. I'm just carrying my.
Yeah, you can go. Okay, just 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes. So now, the Prophet, when he came down wrapping himself to Khadija, and she hugged him and she comforted him and he got this message to get up from Allah and start warning. He gathered all people of Mecca. He gathered all the people of Mecca and told them, do you guys believe me? Do you guys trust me? They say, we trust you. We are the most honest and most trustworthy. He said, did I ever tell a lie? They said, no. He said, if I tell you that a mountain...
Yeah, he said to them that if I tell you that an army was coming over the mountain, would you believe me? And they said, yes. And then they said, well, he said, I'm just a warning.
I am the prophet of Allah sent to you. I am the messenger of Allah sent to you as a warner. As a warner. Warner, and then he said, you will die the way you sleep. And you will wake up, you will be brought up from death the way you wake up from sleep. And it is going to be either eternal Jannah or eternal hell.
How about, isn't it like, if you did mostly good deeds but you had some bad deeds, you would go to hell for some time?
That's terrible. It takes me forever to fall.
Now, back into our discussion. Let's not go on tangents. So now the Abu Lahab said, تَبَّنْ لَكْ أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا. Did you bad, damn you, or curse on you?
Damn.
Curse on you. Is that the reason? Was that the reason you gathered us here? Is that the reason you gathered us to tell us this junk? Okay.
Yes.
Now, but when the before that, when the Prophet went with Khadija to Waraqa ibn Nawfal, and Waraqa ibn Nawfal told him that you are a messenger of Allah, and people are going to drive you out of town, out of your home, because you brought a message of Islam. What happened to Waraqa ibn Nawfal after that?
He died.
Now, how come he stayed alive until he gave this message to the Prophet, and then he died? Why didn't Allah let him live? Huh? There is a wisdom for.
Say no to the angel of death.
Why did Allah let this guy die?
Why was the prophet?
Huh? Why did Allah made Waraqa ibn Nawfal die? Because Allah did not want anybody to say that the Prophet is learning from who? From Waraqa. So they will say that the Prophet is following the faith of Waraqa. Is following the faith of Waraqa. And it's not that it's coming from Allah. It is the faith of Waraqa that he's following. Got it? Okay, so we stopped now at the point where the Prophet said, you will die the way you sleep. You will get up from death the way you get up from sleep. It is either eternal hell or eternal Jannah. And then Abu Lahab replied and said,
this is stupid.
Yes. Damn, Damn you. Or curse on you. Is that the reason you have gathered us? And from that point started the first phase of da'wah, which is called the secret da'wah.
The secret da'wah. It was like they were the secret society.
The secret da'wah. So the da'wah, when it started as what? Secret da'wah. Yeah. Okay, you're dismissed.
Page 11.